Good morning again, and welcome. One of the things that, in the short amount of time that I've known Pastor Rick, one of my favorite things about him was hearing him laugh. I hope to go and visit him after the service, and maybe I can make him laugh, I don't know, but I really want to see him. And you know, we used to talk about Jewish people a lot with me being in Jewish ministry. And given the way that anti-Semitism affects the Jewish community, they're used to persecution and suffering and things like that. And one of the things that my boss, who is Jewish, likes to say is that, you know, it's common for a Jewish man to go to his friend and say, "Is anything okay?" rather than "How's everything?" And today feels kind of like one of those days. You know, Ben's not here and Pastor Rick's not here, and call me a stereotypical Christian. Whenever I'm not doing well or a friend's not doing well, things aren't going well, I think it's good to turn to the Psalms. So I'm glad that Psalm 73 was read this morning. I didn't know that was something that Pastor Rick had been reading, but the Lord led me to Psalm 84 after processing everything that's gone on this week. And after being asked to preach again today, I began going through the Psalms for some comfort. And that was one that was really standing out to me, was Psalm 84. So if you would turn there. And I don't know if you guys are accustomed to doing this, but would you stand with me while we read it? I'm going to read it all the way through. I know that's the second reading of a psalm this morning, but can never have too much of that. I'll go through it once, and then we'll go back and look at it in detail. It's titled, "To the Chief Musician on an Instrument of Gath." Gath is where Goliath was from. That's southwest of Jerusalem. And most people believe it was a harp, guitar-like instrument. But it's a psalm of the sons of Korah. Verse 1 says, "How lovely is your tabernacle, O Lord of hosts! My soul longs, yes, even faints, for the courts of Yahweh. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even at your altars, O Lord of hosts. My King and my God, blessed are those who dwell in your house. They will still be praising you. Blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a spring. The rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. O Yahweh of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. O God, behold our shield, and look upon the face of your anointed. For a day in your courts is better than 1,000. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. For Yahweh God is a sun and shield. Yahweh will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Yahweh of hosts, blessed is the man who trusts in you." And I couldn't help but think of Pastor Rick when I read that last verse to myself at home. Blessed is the man who trusts in you. Like, you can be seated, by the way. Like many other psalms, Psalm 84 is a psalm of ascent. You might call it an Aliyah psalm. Aliyah means to ascend. It means to go up. When Jewish people today return to Israel from anywhere in the world to live there. They call that making Aliyah because they're going up to the Holy Land and ultimately Jerusalem. In the case of Psalm 84, the pilgrim is going up to Jerusalem to worship in the presence of Yahweh. Pilgrimage feasts, normally three times a year, they would go up to Jerusalem for feasts like Passover, Pentecost, Tabernacles. And even though this was a literal journey in a previous dispensation, and even though it has prophetic significance for future pilgrimages in the millennial kingdom, the believer today has the privilege of drawing near to the Lord through Christ. As the writer of Hebrews says in Hebrews 4:16, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Furthermore, we as Christians can look at our lives here on this side of glory as a pilgrimage, where we long to reach the end of our journey to dwell in the house of our God. When I think of Pastor Rick, selfishly, you know, I pray that this isn't the end of his journey. I pray that he's able to come back and continue leading this congregation for many years. And I don't want his journey to be over. But I don't know what the future holds. I had a grandfather who struggled after a stroke. And, you know, I don't want to talk about that. But I don't know what his future holds. But as I see Pastor Rick and many other loved ones in my life grow older, God has reminded me yet again that the end of that pilgrimage, whenever that is, isn't something to be sad about. You know, when my grandfather passed last year, I thought, how selfish would I be to want him to be here knowing what he's experiencing now. So Pastor Rick is on a pilgrimage. We're on a pilgrimage. And that's why I chose this passage. That's why I felt the Lord was leading me to choose this passage. This pilgrimage ends at the house of the Lord for the believer, and we shouldn't be sad about that. So let's go back to verses 1 and 2 of this psalm and see it again, the expectation that we have as pilgrims for what's coming. Look at verse 1. "How lovely is your tabernacle, O Yahweh of hosts." Just imagine this pilgrim on this journey to Jerusalem to see the temple. Okay? Verse 2, "My soul longs, yes, even faints, for the courts of Yahweh. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God." This is the condition of the pilgrim here on earth. The heart cries out, even the flesh cries out for the living God. In verse 3, the pilgrim even reflects, quite literally, I would imagine, on how the birds have places of rest at the temple, even near the altars of Yahweh. Take note of the Beatitudes in verses 4 and 5. "Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They will still be praising you." That's Beatitude number 1. "Blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage." That's Beatitude number 2. I haven't, as I said earlier, it's only been since 2018 that I've known Pastor Rick. But I even though I haven't known him as long as you have, I've known him long enough to know that he is the recipient of these blessings, that in the sense of these Beatitudes, he's blessed. Because I know that he is a pilgrim on a journey like all of us as believers who find our strength in the Lord. I've had a lot of conversations with him. He truly believes that the kingdom is not yet. That's why he and I got along so well as dispensationalists. We know that the kingdom is not now, that we're on this journey in a foreign world, really, in a kingdom that still belongs to the power of the evil one. And we have a mission while we're here, the Great Commission. And despite his current trials, I know that he's a man whose strength was never in himself. And but his strength is in the Lord, just as verse 5 says. Go to verses 6 and 7, where the journey of the pilgrim is described. It says, as they passed through the valley of Baca, which can be translated the valley of weeping, they make it a spring. It's a dry valley outside of Jerusalem. And they make it a spring, perhaps by turning the desolate place into a place of joy. Verse 7 says they go from strength to strength, meaning that their journey is not marred by the weariness of travel like usual, because they're nourished supernaturally by God. Each one appearing before God in Zion, it says. That's the Shekinah that's at the temple, that dwelt over the temple. So their strength isn't lost. They're restored continually on this pilgrimage because of what they're anticipating and what they're going to see. It's a unique privilege for the Israelite back in that day, but also a unique privilege for us as believers. In verse 8, the pilgrims petition Yahweh, the God of Jacob, to hear their prayer. And interestingly, in verse 9, they petition Yahweh to behold their shield. Who is their shield? This is best seen as a metaphor for the most prominent participant of the pilgrimage feast, which would be the king. But here's an interesting clarification about the king. The petition is not just to God to behold or look upon the shield, but to look upon the face of your anointed. The Hebrew word there for anointed, of course, is Mashiach, or Messiah in English. It's a petition of near and future importance, certainly for the Davidic king who would have been there in that day, but ultimately for the literal shield of the people and our shield as well, the Davidic king Messiah of Israel. You see in verse 9, the anointed king is called the shield, but then if you look ahead in verse 11, the Lord, Yahweh, is called the shield. So I want to assert to you that this psalm anticipates what we already know about, which is that a divine, God incarnate, anointed king is being spoken of here because of what you see there in verse 9 and 11 about the shield being the anointed, the shield being the Lord. Let's look at verse 10. This verse has inspired a classic hymn. For a day in your courts is better than a thousand. It continues, I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. In modern lingo, you may have heard it said this way, better to serve in heaven than reign in hell. But let me just clarify, reigning in hell, I think, is a myth. And the Word of God says that we reign with Christ in heaven. But I love the verse here, I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. That's verse 10. We saw this already. Look again in verse 11. For the Lord Yahweh God is a sun and a shield. Look at this also. Yahweh will give grace and glory. That's what he bestows. Also in verse 11, no good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. Despite his trials and his current suffering, we can be sure of this for Pastor Rick also. He finds his upright standing through our Savior. In Christ, no good thing is withheld from us. That's something that led me to want to talk about this psalm today. A lot of people think of God as a tyrant in heaven who just inflicts this world upon us. But if you know the God of Israel through his Son, you know that's not true. He is a good God. He withholds no good thing. So, in perfect conclusion of the psalm in verse 12, it says, O Yahweh of hosts, blessed is the man who trusts in you. Not only are we assured of this for our brother, but for all of us in here who truly have a relationship with the Lord Jesus. It applies to all of us in this room. I know you said take all the time that I need, but this is all the time I'm going to take. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and close. Father, I just want to come to you and thank you again for your word and for your Son, the Word made flesh. Thank you for the completion of his mission on the cross to make a way for us to be counted as upright so that you can bestow blessings upon us. And the Word of God says here that you withhold no good thing. I thank you for Pastor Rick. We want to come to you and pray again, like the woman who wouldn't give up, annoying the judge in the Gospel of Luke. We just want to pray again for Pastor Rick. We pray for his recovery, for his comfort, for his healing. We ask for your will to be done in our lives and in his life, but we ask that you bring him back to this pulpit. We pray that you would be again with not just with Mishila, but with their family and with his family here in this congregation. Help us all to be able to be there for him and to know what you're calling us to do. In his absence. We love you and we praise you. We pray these things in the name of Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah. Amen.